إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, بإذن الله تعالى we will speak about the last of the steps of learning and teaching, where we mentioned the four steps where Allah سبحانه وتعالى said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Tilawat of the Qur'an, inform, يُزَكِّيهِمْ, purify them, which is to prepare, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ, تَعْلِمُ الْقُرْآنَ, تَعْلِمُ الْكِتَابَ, is to explain and teach, wal-hikmah, which is the wisdom, and that refers to the demonstration of how things are to be done. So one is to inform, one is to teach, which is to explain, and the third one is to show, is to demonstrate. And this is the essence of Islam. The essence of Islam is demonstration. The essence of Islam is not just explaining, but to actually demonstrate and show and live that Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his life we see the most beautiful examples of this explanation of how the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are to be brought to life, so to speak, through demonstrating them, showing them. So the best example of this is Salah itself, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimus Salah. And this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed people, that Allah has prescribed the Salah, and therefore we must pray, Aqimus Salah, establish the Salah. And then the next step in that is, you are ready? Yes, I am ready to obey. I'm ready to pray. So then go and make wudu. Purify yourself externally, internally. Make sure your clothes are clean and so on, which is the tazkiyah of the body and the soul. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained how salah is to be performed, what is to be done. And then he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray as you have seen me pray, which is to demonstrate this salah. So salah itself is a beautiful example of this entire four-step process of teaching and learning, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam demonstrated how it is to be done. I remind myself and you that this is not only about teaching and learning as to be practiced by those who teach, but it is for all of us in all aspects of our lives. It is how we are supposed to live our lives also, where we learn something, then we prepare to implement that thing in our lives. And all of this implementation takes effort, but the results and the rewards of that effort are what we look forward to from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The hikmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refers to his wisdom, it refers to his decisions, it refers to his life, it refers to his seerah. And that is why the importance of studying the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the tafsir of the Quran. It is the living Quran. It is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in action. And that's where the issue of the hikmah comes, where we learn what is this hikmah by studying the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I remind you, and I remind myself, and I recommend this to you and myself, that to study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let us make this into an absolutely essential part of our lives, which it is, but may Allah forgive us, it's one of those things that we seem to have relegated to the background as something which either is not done at all, or even if it is done more as a pastime rather than as something which is the subject of serious study, where we sit down and we think and we reflect and we study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't seem to do that. We treat it as something which is good to do but not essential, and that's the opposite of what it is. It's absolutely essential and critical that we study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then seek to implement that seerah in our lives. And this is the beauty of it. When we do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say to the people who love Allah, say to the people who would like to express their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to emulate me, to become like me, to be like me, he's saying to his Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah loves his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he will love anyone who is like his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's how do you learn that is through the seerah. And then what will happen? Allah will love you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he loves you, he will forgive your sins, and he is the one who is the oft forgiving, most merciful. And therefore we learn the seerah from this perspective of understanding that it is through the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us so that we become the leaders for the world, that we show the world how to live. And we show the world how to live not by talking about it, but as I said, we show the world. We don't tell the world how to live, we show the world how to live. And that is where today in Islam we seem to be falling way back. We have fallen way back. Where today the world is in a state where people are, they not only do not know Islam, and because they don't know Islam, they seem to hate Islam, and may Allah forgive us, it seems as if we are the reason, because the picture of Islam that we present is a picture which is without hikmah, it's a picture without wisdom, it's a picture that is highly unattractive, and frankly, if we were not already Muslim, then we have to question whether we would have become Muslim looking at ourselves. And if that is the case with ourselves, then that's also the case with other people. Why would they want to become Muslim when the Muslims are like us? On the other hand, when the Sahaba said, Kunu Mislana, that was actually the case where they said, become like us. Because they said, we become Muslim because you have become like us. Today we are in a world where we are ashamed of ourselves. We are ashamed of our identity. We have no confidence in our own selves, in our own identity. Take the case of when we're talking about the hikmah and the emulation of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we talk about the emulation of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but do we emulate the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our lives? Do we look like him? Do we walk like him? Do we talk like him? Do we dress like him? Do we deal with people like the way that he used to deal with people? These are some hard questions, but questions we need to ask. Today our standards have all become Western. I've got absolutely nothing against the West. The West and Western education is very much part of my own upbringing. It's very much part of my own tarbiyah. The very language that I'm speaking is the language of the West, and today it's become the global language, which is English. And it's one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All languages are the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, today I think we are in a place where we can almost say that we can't do without English. And it's a very good thing that we know it. But the point is that it's nothing to do with the West or the East. The issue is that we have adopted all of those standards as our standards. But we like to talk about the standards of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is hypocrisy. This is nifaq. This is hypocrisy. On the one hand, we say that we must follow the sunnah, and the sunnah is the most beautiful way of living in the world. But when we set the standard for ourselves, we set the standards which are not the standard of the sunnah. I'm not saying they are haram, but we set the standards which are not the standard of the sunnah. We take one example. For example, we talk about the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we pray without head coverings. May Allah forgive us, we even give Juma khutbah without head covering. We dress in Western clothing all the time. We dress in Western clothing even when we are giving the khutbah of Juma. We dress in Western clothing even when we go to the masjid. There's nothing wrong with Western clothing as long as it fulfills the sharaat of the Sharia. There is nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying there is also nothing wrong with that in the clothing of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is wrong in the clothing of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is wrong if when you give a khutbah, when you lead salah, if you have a turban on your head, if you have a cap on your head, if you're wearing the clothes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is wrong with that? The fact is that you are ashamed of that. You are ashamed of looking like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are ashamed of dressing like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are ashamed when somebody else dresses like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to take off somebody else's turban. You want to take off somebody else's thobe because you are ashamed of it yourself. Face yourself. Correct yourself, because otherwise, on the day of judgment, when you see Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believe me, he's not going to be wearing a suit. He will not be bareheaded. Wake up, wake up, wake up! The world laughs at us that we talk about this and we do something else. And the biggest problem of that is that we are reinforcing the stereotype of the West. The West today says that anyone with a turban on his head is a mad mullah. He has got no brains. He is a backward, stupid fool. Don't listen to him. That is their stereotype. And what do? We take off our turbans. We go and put on a suit, which is badly cut in any case. So people look at you and say, where did he find this from? But we stand there and we try to imitate and look like them. So even if you say something good, people will say, well, you see, he is not like them. He is talking sense because he is like us. He's not like them. Them meaning the Muslims. Them meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we need to do is to have the confidence to go and stand there looking like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is an amama on the head, which is a proper beard, not the shadow of the sun on your face, which is clothing which is clearly and obviously Islamic, and then talk science, and then talk technology, and then talk politics, and then talk literature. So the people will look at it, and they will be forced to question their own stereotypes. And they will be forced to ask themselves a question and say, we thought that these mad mullahs, they have no brains, but how come this man who looks like a mad mullah is making eminent sense to me? How come this man's words touch my heart? How come this woman whose head is covered, this woman who is dressed in a hijab, this woman who looks like a Muslim, how come she is talking sense? This is what you want. This is what Islam is, and this is the meaning of hikmah. This is the meaning of demonstration of the seerah. Not running around, hiding under tables because you are ashamed of your own identity. Seriously, seriously, my brothers and sisters, we have to wake up. The time to wake up is now, not when Malakul Maut comes and wakes you up. Stop being ashamed of your identity, or go and find an identity which you like and stay with that. Seriously, let us wake up and understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a purpose, to demonstrate the beauty of his deen. And the essence of his deen is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you have no confidence, and if you don't want to look and walk and talk and deal and live like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then go and find somebody who you like to live like, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with you in that way. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to love only and only and only those who resemble his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you think I am wrong, then find for me the ayat of the Quran where it says that Allah loves the one who does not look like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So either you find that ayat for me, or you go by the ayat which I mentioned to you just now, where Allah said, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukumullahu wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wallahu ghafurur rahim." The ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a burden. The ittiba, the emulation of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not a chore to be done. It is not some musiba on our heads. It is the mark of the greatest honor that we can possibly be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to be like his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us develop confidence in ourselves, in our own identities, and not live our lives like little rats hunting for a hole to hide in. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us confidence. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your hearts with his nur. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you walking, talking models of the appearance, of the akhlaq, of the ma'amilat, of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.